Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.
Ready, inshallah, to resume, continue. We talked about Mahmoud Qazan, who was the ruler of the Ilikhans. After him came his brother, who also accepted Islam. And he named himself Muhammad ibn Aragon. Muhammad ibn Aragon. And he offered the Mamluks this time. Now you remember at the time of Ahmad ibn Hulaku, didn't he offer truce and forgetting the past? Now, Muhammad ibn Aragon, the first thing he did when he became the Ili Khan after his brother Qazan is to correspond with An-Nasr ibn Qalawun in Egypt, telling him, let's forget the past. And I am serious. Forget about all what happened in the past. Forget about, I am serious. And An-Nasr Muhammad ibn Qalawun did not object to that. And actually this time it was real. For real. And things were okay. But again, in less than a year, this man became more dangerous on the Muslims than the Tatars themselves. How? He became Shia. So what is the problem with that? What? What is the problem with that? The problem is he was influenced by one of the Shia scholars. And when the scholars mention him, they say Shia Muhtariq. Muhtariq means burning, like he is so extreme. Mutahhir al-Din al-Hilli. And he's famous in the Shia doctrine. Ibn al-Mutahhir al-Hilli, that's how they mention his name. He made this man become Shia. And between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's not really an issue. Allah azza wa jalla will hold you accountable. The danger is when your beliefs are forced on people and you are affecting people. Now the problem with that is this man now, he believed the real danger is not the crusader, is not the non-Muslims, it is the Muslims of Ahlul Sunnah. They are the ones who deceived the Muslims. They are the ones who took the rightful kingship from the people, the family of the Prophet ﷺ. So he launched the attacks against Muslims in the year 712. Now that year, we could attach it to the second Tatar invasion, to the second campaign, because the next one would actually happen way later. But this one, in the year 712, he did not launch it alone. He allied with the crusaders. Someone accepted Islam and said, I am a Muslim, offered real truce in less than a year, he's now attacking Muslims, not only by himself, but with the aid of crusaders. What is going on here? What is happening with people? That's what we call political blindness. Have you heard this term before? Al-Ama al-Siyasi. Because I don't say I invented it, but I thought about it. So, political blindness. When this is the road and you go this way. Just like what happened with some Muslim leaders. For instance, Saddam, when he invaded Kuwait. You know the first press conference he released, what was it? I want to liberate Palestine. So is that the road to Palestine south? He attacked Iran. Is that the road to Palestine? Where is the problem? SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ said, Fitan kaqita' al-layl al-muzlim. You look at the night, how it's divided to pieces. يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. Why? Why someone began the day Muslim, ended the day kafir? Why? يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ. He is selling his religion for a little amount of this dunya. بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٍ. That is the price that is paid. Aren't there spies spying against Muslims? Aren't there or no? There are. For what price? Are they really looking for a better world, or they are looking for better account and better life for themselves? This is the problem. So you can't imagine how things are changing drastically like that. Why? There are many reasons. We'll come to them, inshallah, when we analyze all this period of time. I consider that actually the most important session. Because now we talked about history, but we need to analyze only. We need to see the causes, the effects, the solutions. So, with that unsuccessful campaign, the danger of the Tatars is almost gone. Until we go to the year 771 of Hijrah in Samarkand. Do you remember Samarkand? The big city that Genghis Khan took it as a temporary place for his residence. A man by the name of Taimur. You know the meaning of Taimur? Taimur means iron in the Mongolian language. Taimur, he announced the unity of the Mongols. He declared himself the great Khan. He claimed that he is a descendant from Okitai, the son of the great Khan, Genghis Khan. That man united the Mongols in Samarkand in the year 771. And he started the campaigns against the Muslim land, specifically and generally against the world. Now, what is the history of this man? This man was a robber. This man, Taimur Lenk, was a robber. He had a gang of 40 people. I don't know if the story actually is generated from him himself or somewhere else, but he was known to be a robber. And actually, one time, he was stealing and he was shot in his leg, so he became limp. And that's why he's called Taimur Lenk. In Arabic, Taimur al-A'raj, the limping one, because that injury remained with him forever. Why? What caused that injury? That he was stealing. This is Taimur Lenk. Where did he come? He wasn't in Samarkand. He started again as a thief. And in one time, one of the leaders, he saw his strength, so he wanted to bring him close. Eventually, Taimur killed that leader. Then, in Samarkand, Taimur married the sister of the leader. Eventually, he killed them both, his wife and the leader. And that's when he announced himself the great Khan, Taimur Lenk. This is an example of a man who distorted the image of Islam, because he said, I am a Muslim. So if you are a Muslim, what should you do? You know where did he go? He went to India. Who was ruling India? Muslims. At that time, they were still Muslims. He attacked them. You know why? He told them, you are too lenient with the Hindus. So instead of teaching them how should they treat the non-Muslims, the Hindus, he went attacking Muslims in India, claiming that the Muslims should learn how to be tough in their religion. They should not compromise. That's an example of political blindness with this man. He went north. Only in one campaign, he attacked parts of the non-Muslim land in Russia and Eastern Europe. That's it. Other than that, all his attacks, especially the 7 years campaign from year 802 until year 807. That is the campaign known as the campaign of the 7 years. It was all against the Muslim land. In Baghdad, he accused the Muslim ruler there, who was appointed by the Mongols, that he is allying with the Mamluks. So they had to be punished. He went there. He sacked Halab, Aleppo. He entered Damascus. For 3 days, he was burning Damascus. He remained there for 80 days in Damascus. In one incident, the captives of war were brought to him. 3,000 people. He dug a trench. He threw them there alive. And then he buried them while they were alive. All that was done while he commanded that every time he's going, wherever he's going, his masjid is moving with him. He is very righteous. He has a wooden masjid, mobile masjid. You see, mashallah, the piety. What kind of political blindness, stupidity that this man had. He had a hobby. You know what was his hobby? To build the minarets from the skulls of the people that he kills. I never saw a man with so many contradictions like this man. With so many paradoxes like this man. He forced the youngsters to memorize the Quran. And on the other hand, he forced the enslaved women to serve naked in front of their husbands, his guests. It was his hobby, another hobby that he has. All that was done and he claimed to be a true Muslim. And what might cause this thing? Now, he might be mental, he might be sick, has a problem. But when you check on him, you see that he did not believe as Ahlul Sunnah believed. He was not a Muslim. All his beliefs were against Ahlul Sunnah actually. He was from the Rafida. But still, even the Rafida, aren't they humans? He did actually more horrible things than the Tatars themselves did. During this campaign, he attacked the Ottoman Empire. Now, the Ottoman Empire is starting to shape as a strong power. After over 100 years, it's becoming a strong power, especially with its new leader, Yazid al-Sa'iqa. They called him... They call him Yazid al-Sa'iqa. You know what's the meaning of a Sa'iqa bolt? He was very strong. Taimur defeated him. Nobody could stop him. Until he finished from the Muslims. He wanted to continue to Egypt. But all that time, subhanAllah, for some reason, Allah Azza wa Jal was protecting Egypt. All that time. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned about Egypt that it is Fustatul Muslimin. Al-Kinana. You know what is the Kinana? Kinana is the pocket where you hide your weapons. Towards the end of the time, before the Day of Judgment, Bilad al-Sham will be the Fustat for Muslimin. But at that time, subhanAllah, you see, everybody is going to Egypt. He wanted to go and invade Egypt. But when he knew that the people there were ready for him, he went back. He went back and did not continue. And eventually, now from that year, it was only extraordinary thing to happen in those less than 40 years. After that, the new countries started shaping in Europe, in Asia, in the Muslim world. And after that, begins the story of the Ottoman Empire. From that time on. So, this is it. We're not done yet, by the way. We have 5 minutes. If you have any comments, quickly, before we go to the prayer, inshallah. 10 to 4, we will stop. Do you have anything? Yes. Well, you count 802 and you count 807. Yeah. Yes.
Whether or not assassins are armed.
Hmm?
Assassins.
You know the word assassin, where it came from? It comes from the word, Arabic word, hashash. Do you know what's the meaning of hashish? Weed. Don't laugh. It's not a new thing. It is not a new thing. Those people were trained to kill. Because again, they are high. They were high on pot, on weed. So from that word, hashash, came the English term assassin. Yes.
Back to the question.
It's forbidden to have weed. Even if you want to kill someone. Well, here's the thing. Is it really about one person? Now, yeah, it is. It is effective, one person. But you see what Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran about Fir'aun? Allah says, إِنَّ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا كَانُوا خَاطِينَ. It's not only the sin of Fir'aun or Haman, also the soldiers. So it's not enough to say, I was forced or he told me to do that. That could be a solution, but if you could reach him. At that time, they did not have snipers. So how would you reach someone like that with all the guards around him? Yes.
The question would also be, which of the many kings would choose to remove him, I suppose?
Which?
There wasn't really a unity at that time.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem. Again, with all what we saw in about, how many years? Like 200 years? Approximately year 807 from 603, let's say 205 years. How many people and how many things changed? Were the lessons learned? Did we learn now the lesson? We will find out, inshallah, after the break. Yes. Who? Muhammad ibn Aragon. The region of Iraq together with Persia, that's where he settled. Any other questions? Yes. I did that before the course. In the masjid, Makki masjid. Yeah, I can do that, inshallah. Quickly, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was born in Harran. Harran is a city in Turkey. When he was 7 years of age, his family had to move from Harran, from the north to the south, to Damascus. So he was raised in Damascus. Now why they moved? Why they moved? What was taking place at that time? Year 666, 667. What was going on there? The Tatars invasions from the north there. So he moved to Damascus. And he was studying there. He studied with the scholars. He was raised in a family of knowledge. And that helped a lot. SubhanAllah. Almost all scholars, you find there is someone behind them that is encouraging them, helping them. You see, that's the sunnah of Allah Azza wa Jal. You take care of something, it will pay back later. Things do not just grow by themselves. Have you ever heard of ice cream? Beautiful, delicious ice cream that was produced on the moon? Why not? We don't believe it because nobody is there. How they made it there? So most scholars, there was someone or more than someone. In the case of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he descends from a family of scholars. His father, Abdul Halim rahimahullah, he was a scholar. Unlike his son, but he was a scholar. His grandfather, Al-Majid Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, who wrote the book, Muntaqa al-Akhbar. Muntaqa al-Akhbar, the selection of the reports. Over 5,000 hadiths of the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that are related to fiqh. These ahadith, they are related to jurisprudence. Later, Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah came and commented on that book. Actually, it is part of the curriculum of the students of hadith in Medina University. This book, Muntaqa al-Akhbar, Nail al-Awtar Sharh Muntaqa al-Akhbar, the book of al-Shawkani rahimahullah. So he comes from a family of people of knowledge. Before he reached 20 of age, scholars at his time told him that he has to start giving fatwas because he was qualified. And you look at our time, for instance now, I mean, people who are 18, 19, 20 or even 30 years of age, what are their concerns? We are so consumed with our life that I want to secure a job, I want to finish my study, I want to get married. When will be the time to think of your religion? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he had even no time to marry. And people actually blamed him for that. But he gave his excuse that he did not really have time. That's just one example. Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, the same thing. Imam al-Nawawi, they mention interesting thing about him. I will say it inshallah once there are only brothers. It's related to marriage, and it's amazing that those people, how they lived, and we still mention them until now. And you look at their time and you say, SubhanAllah, how Allah blessed their time. Just reading the books of Ibn Taymiyyah, just reading the books, it will take you years of reading. How then it was given to him the time to write those books? Over 100 books he wrote in everything. I mean, we can talk a lot. Imam al-Zahabi, rahimahullah, wrote an entire book. Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi, rahimahullah, again, wrote an entire book about Ibn Taymiyyah. So, that's it. Time for prayer. Okay, we'll break, inshallah, for the prayer, and we'll come back after the break.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. This audio file has been prepared for Al-Kawthar Institute students who have attended this course. Please do not distribute this file without written permission from Al-Kawthar Institute. For more information on our courses, please visit www.alkawthar.org. www.alkawthar.org. Jazakallah khair.